60 years ago, a young paratrooper named Joe Byerly parachuted into Normandy on the night before the D-Day invasion. He landed on the roof of a church in Saint-Côme-du-Mont, and what happened after that is a story of improbable survival against incredible odds through France, Germany, Poland, and Russia. Mr. Byerly earned the nickname Jumpin' Joe for his gumption and the personal thanks of two heads of state. Joe Byerly died this week at the age of 81. Thomas Taylor is the author of Behind Hitler's Lines, the true story of the only soldier to fight for both America and the Soviet Union in World War II. He joins us from San Francisco. Mr. Taylor, thanks for being with us.
Yes, pleasure.
What happened to Joe Byerly the night of June 5th?
Well, maybe that's not the place to start, because he had already jumped into Normandy twice, being maybe the best parachutist in the 101st Airborne Division. They asked him to volunteer to jump solo into around Alençon to carry gold to the resistance there. This he did twice with about what would today be $250,000 worth of gold strapped to his body.
On the night of June 5th, his orders, as I understand it, were to jump and help destroy two bridges that were behind Utah Beach.
That was his battalion objective, yes. He was captured on D+2, then progressively moved eastward toward the eastern front. He had already made two unsuccessful escapes. Since he'd unsuccessfully tried to get to the Allied lines to the west, he said this last one would be toward the Russians.
I understand that his parents thought that he was dead.
Well, this goes back to Normandy. He had a German name, Byerly. The Germans had very little intelligence about what was going on behind the beachheads. So they took Joe's dog tags and gave them to a line crosser with the captured walkie-talkie. And what happened was that line crosser was killed trying to cross the line. So when the Americans advanced, they found a body quite blown apart, I think. But it had Joe Byerly's dog tags on it. And so they duly reported back to his parents that, the Secretary of the Army regrets that your son was killed in action. And, of course, the family went into mourning.
How and when did he wind up with the Russian Army?
They overran a German position where he was hiding in a barn. And the unit was a Russian armored outfit commanded by a woman major. And they congratulated him, filled him with vodka, said, now you can go home. And he replied, no, I'm going to stay with you. I've got some scores to settle in Berlin. That made him a hero with the Russians, who armed him with a submachine gun, put him on a tank, and he fought his way to the Oder River. He was severely wounded and evacuated through the Russian medical system. And the last irony to this story was that when he got to Moscow and was taken to the American embassy, they thought he was an imposter. So he was incarcerated by the Americans, whose records showed that Joe Byerly had died in Normandy back in June.
And do I have this right? His son is now the chief of mission at the U.S. Embassy in Moscow?
One of his sons is. Yeah, he's the number two man to the ambassador, where Joe is extolled almost like Audie Murphy. I mean, you didn't ever hear of Joe Byerly until you read his obit in the Post. But in Russia, they know him. They invite him to every May Day celebration, and he often goes, and he went this last year.
Mr. Taylor, nice talking to you.
Sure thing.
Thomas Taylor is the author of the book Behind Hitler's Lines, speaking with us about Joe Byerly, who died this week at the age of 81.